Is Allah triune? We have a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, three personages. Is Allah triune? Second question. Does Allah have a son that he sent to the world? And the third question, is Allah involved in redemption through that son? If that does not set the standard for us to understand that Allah of the Islamic faith is not the same God of our Bible, I don't know what else. Is he triune? Does he have a son? And is he involved in the ministry of redemption through that son who he sent to the world to redeem all of humankind? The answer has to be no, no, no. And so I'm giving you the answer. It's kind of a rhetorical question, but do you know the answer? You know what? What is the statement? There's five pillars in Islam. And what's the first statement? The creed. There is no God but Allah. And his prophet is Muhammad. That statement must be said or you could well be killed. There is no God but Allah Muhammad is his prophet. That's the very first pillar in the five pillars of the Islamic faith. The other pillars would be prayer, five times a day to pray. And the minaret sounds the sound in the Middle East calling to prayer. Sometimes at 5, I think it's about 5 a.m. in the morning. You know, we don't have to have an alarm clock when you live in the Middle East. Just live near a minaret, you know, and the alarm goes off and this recording is playing. Go to prayer. So you have the creed, which is pronounced, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Number two, the time of prayer. Number three, the giving of alms, the giving of monies, the taking care of people. Number four, you've got to celebrate the fast of Ramadan. This is one of the pillars now of the faith. This month, this 30-day period of time of Ramadan, you must fast in the daytime, and then you can feast at night. And then the fifth pillar of the prayer, you must make a pilgrimage to Mecca. Make a pilgrimage to Mecca, and when you do that, then you receive the title of Hajj. You make your Hajj, that's pilgrimage, so you go to Mecca, you are the Hajj. If I had gone to Mecca, I would be the Hajj Jimmy DeYoung. But I'm not going to Mecca, so don't worry about it. But those are the five pillars of the faith. And immediately it says that the God, the only God, is Allah. And what do they have to do? They have to show obedience to him by praying to him every day. And what does every Muslim do when he prays five times a day? Gets on his knees, brings his face to the ground towards what? Mecca. Not towards Jerusalem, where God said he is going to dwell among his people forever. To Mecca. By the way, it's interesting, you talk about Jerusalem, and I'll mention the Quran in just a moment, but you know the word Jerusalem is never used in the Quran. Never used in the Quran. And in fact, in the Islamic world and capitals for the Islamic faith through the years, like Damascus, like Baghdad, like Mecca, was never in Jerusalem. And yet it is the third holiest site. Mecca number one, Medina number two, and Jerusalem number three. By the way, that wasn't true until just several hundred years ago when politically they put it in position. But Allah prayed to the God who is not the God of the book. Now let me look at the third of the satanic trio with you. The first one, the diviner, Muhammad. The second one, the deity, Allah. The third one, the doctrine, which is the Quran, the most authoritative book as far as the Muslim people are concerned, the Quran. Now, let me first say this. It is an unholy book. It comes from visions. Muhammad said, as I just told you a few moments ago, he thought at one time he was demon-possessed as he started to see these visions. And it was over a period of time that he received the Quran. And so this information is given to him, but it is an unholy book thought to come from demons. You know what he said? He said that the angel Gabriel gave him this book. Well, let's go back and let me go to Matthew just for a second. Matthew chapter 1. And I want to show you a couple of things in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 mentions this angel Gabriel. And this angel Gabriel is going to be involved in appearing to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 to give him information about the fact that that he is going to be the father, the earthly father of Jesus Christ. And we read here in verse 20, Matthew chapter 1, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph." And so the angel Gabriel brings him information that he is going to be the earthly father of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1 and 2, the angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias, who's a priest at the temple, and tells him that he is going to have a son. Then he appears to Mary, the virgin, in Nazareth, in Galilee, and tells her that she will bring forth the son, Jesus Christ. So the true angel Gabriel is talking about the presentation of the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, and saying how his life will be lived. The angel Gabriel that Muhammad claims that he received the Quran from is a satanic being. It is not the angel Gabriel. It is a satanic being. It is not only an unholy book, it's a non-biblical book. And the fact is, I'm not going to take the time to really dig into some of this with you. We don't have the time really to do it. But I want to suggest to you that you must be aware of the fact that there is in the Islamic faith the doctrine of abrogation, which means that they can abrogate any part of the Bible they want to. What they agree with, they say is okay. What they don't agree with, they say that is false, it's been perverted by the Christians and the Jews, and thus this is the final word on what God wanted mankind to know. That is the doctrine of abrogation. And they deal with the person of Jesus Christ. Let me just show you why the Quran is a satanic book. I make the statement, a fairly harsh statement, but let me show you. It talks about the person of Jesus Christ. It says that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. I agree with that 100%. It says that Jesus Christ lived a miraculous life. I'll agree with that 100%. It said that Jesus Christ did not die. It said that Jesus Christ was never buried and did not resurrect. Some interpretations indicate that probably one of his men or somebody else was the substitute on the cross, but it was not Jesus Christ. That actually Jesus Christ, in some interpretations, was taken into the heavenlies. But he did not die. He did not resurrect from the dead. And it's beyond any shadow of a doubt says that he was not the Son of God, because the Quran specifically states that Allah has no son. You know what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says? If Christ didn't die and didn't resurrect, we are still in our sin. Do you know what the cornerstone of the faith is? Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. Jesus Christ said, "I am he who was alive and dead, and I now stand before you alive." You know how we can have faith in the prophetic word of God? Because of Revelation 1:18. In 1:18, "I am he was alive and dead and now stand before you alive." What's verse 19? So write down those things which were. Write down those things which shall be. Write down those things which shall be hereafter. Jesus Christ gives authority to the reality of prophecy because he resurrected from the dead. That makes it. I was in a high school up in Canada speaking. I do a lot of high school speaking and have opportunity to talk about the Lord. And I was in about 1,000 kids in the auditorium, and I was talking about the Lord, and all of a sudden, the principal couldn't stand what I was saying. And he said, "Hold it, Mr. DeYoung. Then what makes you think your philosophy, your religion, your ideology is the only way?" I said, "Name another one, sir." "Buddhism." I said, "Who was the savior of Buddhism?" "Buddha." I said, "Did Buddha live?" He said, "Yes." I said, "So did Jesus." I said, did Buddha die? He said, yes. I said, so did Jesus. And then I said, did Buddha get up out of that grave and does he live today? He said, no. I said, Jesus did. Those kids gave me a standing ovation. They weren't really for me, they were just against him, see, but but that's it. Look at all the other faces of the world. The only Savior that has ever died, was buried, resurrected is Jesus Christ. And when you take a religion whose demonic doctrine is that Jesus Christ never died, never was buried, never resurrected, that destroys the authenticity of the Word of God. He died to take away our sin, but he resurrected from the dead to guarantee he was the one who was qualified to die and take away our sin. He was the one who could tell us, because he was the creator, he can tell us those things the creation will be involved in the future. And so for the Quran to make that harsh statement that he never died, but never buried, they do call him the Messiah. They do say he's coming back a second time. I'll get into that tomorrow. Because the Quran believes that Jesus Christ is Messiah and is coming back. And will do some very interesting things. There'll be a major battle Messiah will lead. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? But we'll get into that tomorrow.